We're looking back on the year in pop culture with Fresh Air's critics. Our rock critic Ken Tucker, who is also editor-at-large at Entertainment Weekly, has brought his 10 best list with him. Hi, Ken. Well, we asked you to choose two of your favorite tracks of the year from your 10 best list and to play those tracks for us. So why don't you introduce the first for us and tell us why you chose it?
The first track is by Taylor Swift, who's a 19-year-old country pop singer-songwriter. The song I really like of hers is called You Belong With Me. The album, which was called Fearless, it was her intention to write songs that were basically diary entries sent to music, which could have been very, very coy and insufferable, but she did it with such conviction and lack of irony that I thought it was wonderful. And I think that You Belong With Me is one of the best songs on the album.
Okay, let's hear it. This is Taylor Swift.
You're on the phone with your girlfriend. She's upset. She's going off about something that you said. 'Cause she doesn't get your humor like I do. I'm in the room. It's a typical Tuesday night. I'm listening to the kind of music she doesn't like. And she'll never know your story like I do. But she wears short.
It's Taylor Swift, and her album Fearless is on our rock critic Ken Tucker's 10 Best list. And I have to say, Ken, I remember when you reviewed this on the show, and I think that it was late in 2008, actually, when it first came out. And
yes.
I was thinking, this is kind of interesting, but I wonder why he chose it to review on the show. And were you expecting her to become the sensation that she did?
No, I mean, certainly this was her year in a sense of pop prominence all over the place. I mean, she did that crossover from country to pop music, accomplished that very swiftly, so to speak. And I think she did it because she presented something fresh. She's not jaded as so many mainstream pop acts are. And she got embroiled in a controversy midway through the year. In September, the MTV Video Awards, now notoriously, she was accepting an award for Best Video, and Kanye West took the stage and said that Beyoncé should have won this award. And it was, you know, the YouTube moment seen around the world. And there was poor little fragile Taylor Swift caught in the middle of it, yet benefiting from this enormous controversy.
And I want you to play the other track that you've brought with you, which is an interesting contrast to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of not funny, but indicative of the year that two of my favorite pieces of music, one is by someone who hasn't yet turned 20, and the other is by a 60-plus-year-old man. It's Loudon Wainwright III and his kind of project more than just a mere album. It's called High, Wide, and Handsome, the Charlie Poole Project. It's his salute to Charlie Poole, a banjo player who died in 1931. And it's a combination of original songs and covers of Charlie Poole's music. And the song I'd like to play is the title song, which Loudon wrote, called High, Wide, and Handsome.
High, wide, and handsome, that's how life should be. Low, skinny, and ugly, that's for other people. High, wide, and handsome suits me to a T. Song, wine, and women, they're my three favorites. Beer, gin, and whiskey, that's 5, 6, and 4. Saturday night, I like eating and dancing. Then I sleep all day Sunday, so I'm ready for more.
That's Loudon Wainwright, the title track of his album High, Wide, and Handsome, which is a salute to Charlie Poole. And can I share your enthusiasm for this double CD by Loudon Wainwright? And since Loudon Wainwright and Taylor Swift both have connections to country music, Charlie Poole was an old-time country musician, what do you think the state of country music is right now?
I think it's absolutely thriving. I think it's one of the most vital elements of country of pop music right now, because it can contain people as disparate as Taylor Swift and Loudon Wainwright, and then there are much more mainstream country performers such as Billy Currington and Miranda Lambert, both of whom are on my top 10 list, who are making country music that's very much in that kind of classic hardcore 1950s, 1960s, George Jones, Merle Haggard tradition. And so once you can have those kinds of songs all become hits, I think it speaks to the health of country music. I think the Loudon Wainwright, I listened to the interview that you did with him, Terry, and I thought it was really interesting the way So often we've thought of Loudon Wainwright over the decades as merely a satirist and someone who writes confessional songs. And for him to go outside himself and to immerse himself in another person's songs, in this case a pioneer country artist, I thought was really interesting and refocused attention on something that doesn't get much attention, which is Loudon Wainwright's voice. He's a very, very good singer. By contrast, Taylor Swift's voice is actually very fragile, and even I fell into a trap. I wrote a review for my magazine, Entertainment Weekly, in which I described her at an award ceremony as singing with a voice that was as wobbly as a newborn colt. And I realized afterwards that was ridiculous. I should not have said that, because Taylor Swift's fragile, wobbly voice is exactly the instrument that's needed for conveying these very emotionally fragile songs. It's the perfect conveyance for the emotions that she wants to express.
My guest is our rock critic, Ken Tucker. He'll run through his 2009 10 Best list after a break. This is Fresh Air. We've been talking about the year in pop culture with Fresh Air's critics. Let's get back to our rock critic, Ken Tucker, who's been talking about the year in music and has brought his 10 best list. I'm amazed at the role that TV has now in making hit records. And I think it's in part because radio itself is playing such a small role in making hit records. And young people in particular, I don't think they're growing up listening to music radio very much.
No, and people are consuming music in different ways. I mean, we've talked in recent years about how people really listen to their music not so much via the album format as by downloading singles at this point. And I think that in a lot of ways, it's not the radio, it's not listening with your ears, it's listening with your eyes and ears to videos on YouTube. That's certainly the way another phenomenon of this year, Susan Boyle, became such a huge success. She was on Britain's Got Talent, a show that wasn't even broadcast here, but she so wowed the judges with her performance that she became a star overnight, and her viewings on YouTube are in the hundreds of millions. So she's really somebody who benefited from this new kind of way of consuming music.
It's kind of interesting that the two big breakout singers who came out of TV competitions are so opposite. You know, Adam Lambert, who is so kind of big and theatrical and like, I know, I'm out of the closet now, and boy, am I transgressive. And then there's Susan Boyle, who looks like, you know, she was a shut-in for years and was suddenly on TV and then became a big star and seemed kind of traumatized by the whole deal for a while. And they have really different styles of performance, different kinds of material. They're just like opposites.
Totally. And it was fascinating to me. It was the first time I really got involved in American Idol. I intensely wanted Adam Lambert to win, because once I saw that what he was doing was completely confounding the judges every week by changing up his styles, his makeup, his costume, in addition to his voice, was as important to his performance every single week. And he just radiated this kind of confidence and this kind of sly humor that he wasn't intimidated by the judges. And I just thought Lambert was just a terrific figurehead, finally, for what could so often be a bland competition in American Idol. And that, so that kind of, you know, Lambert coming out of the closet, him performing in an award ceremony recently that was broadcast live, and his dancers simulated oral sex, and it caused a big ruckus, and there were threats of FCC, you know, investigations, all this kind of thing. It's just another case of, you know, someone hearkening back to rock and roll's old power to shock. And yet also working very, very much in a real mainstream pop tradition. I mean, you could book Adam Lambert tomorrow in Las Vegas for 6 months, and he would seem like the most natural performer there in the world.
Well, Ken, I think I should ask you to read your 10 best list for us.
Sure. Number one is Loudon Wainwright III, High, Wide, and Handsome, the Charlie Poole project. Number two is the Taylor Swift single, You Belong With Me. Number three is Fiery Furnaces, who seem to release one album a year, and I love every one of them. This one was called I'm Going Away. Number four is the album Revolution by Miranda Lambert, a country singer. Number five is Murdering Oscar and Other Love Songs, an album by Patterson Hood, who's the son of David Hood, who was bassist for the Muscle Shoals Rhythm Section. Number six is a single, a country single called People Are Crazy by Billy Currington, which David Letterman called the most perfect song of the year. It's a TV influence there. Number seven is Deer Tick, a band from Rhode Island, and their album Born on Flag Day. Number eight is a guy named Bob Dylan, who put out an album called Together Through Life, which I thought was wonderful. Number nine is a single called Say Hey, I Love You by Michael Franti and Spearhead. And number 10 is an album by a two-person group called LaRue from Britain, and their album was called LaRue.
And if you missed any of that list, it's, of course, on our website, npr.freshair.org. Ken, you've been a music critic as well as a TV critic for many years. You've been writing about music since the 70s. And as we look back on the end of the year and the end of a decade, can you just reflect a moment on how you think the role of the music critic has changed in the lives of listeners?
I think the role of the music critic has become largely as a consumer guide. I think Robert Christgau, who started a consumer guide, you know, 40 years ago now, was onto something with one paragraph reviews, because that's what an awful lot of magazines and websites want now, is get to the point, tell me if I should buy something or not. On the other hand, I think the internet has been my and other music critics' savior, in the sense that we can write as long and as detailed as we want about things. So I feel totally re-energized, both as a music and in my other life as a TV critic, writing for the internet, because I think it's where criticism is going to thrive in the future.
And do you feel like people read you on the internet?
Boy, do I feel like people read me on the internet. You get such instant response and such overwhelming positive response, that kind of, thank goodness somebody else likes Loudon Wainwright. Thank goodness you said that. You said that American Idol is bad. Or, you know, you're an incredible jerk. You don't know what you're talking about. That kind of thing. And then it's both very informed and very vulgar reactions to you, but at the same time, it's an audience. I can really feel so much more than I did a few years ago, that I'm really writing for a very, very active, committed, vital audience.
Well, Ken, I want to wish you happy holidays, a happy new year. Thank you for being with us today and talking about the year in music and sharing your 10 best list.
Thanks so much, Terry. Same to you.
Ken Tucker is Fresh Air's rock critic and critic at large at Entertainment Weekly. I'm Terry Gross. All of us at Fresh Air wish you a Merry Christmas. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, we wish you a happy holiday. We'll close today's show with my favorite Christmas song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And as I've done every Christmas for the past few years, I want to thank Hugh Martin for writing it. He's 95 now, and I know he sometimes listens to our show. I hope he's listening now so that I can wish him a Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year. Hugh Martin wrote this song for Judy Garland to sing in the wonderful 1944 film Meet Me in St. Louis. I love the way she sings it. But I think I love even more the recording Hugh Martin made in 2005.